It's so wonderful to have such a great musical presence on Ash Wednesday, and wonderful to hear the combined choirs. How did I do? That's the only one I can't see. I can see the rest of you. I really pasted some of you. Some of you are going to be wearing that cross for a long time. All the stuff that's going on in the news with the Me Too stuff and increased awareness about appropriate boundaries and appropriate uses of power. And Ruth and I were talking about that just a little bit this morning, trying to just kind of get our heads around, why is this such a problem? And I think maybe part of it comes down to the lack of transitional rights in our culture. That we live in a society where we are told that we can do anything we want, that we can grow up to do anything that we want. We can where there's a premium on individuality, on originality. That as wonderful as all those things are, one of the things that gets lost is the sense of communal identity that defines who we are and how we interact within that community. You know, when we look at tribal cultures, you know, there's almost always some sort rite of transition, that's not quite right. Anyway, initiation, there we go, that'll work, between the juvenile and an adult. And it's very clear when a person reaches that point, how they're going to cross that boundary, what is expected of them. I already did you. No, I didn't! The gospel. According to Matthew, the sixth. I was wondering why you were looking at me so weird over there. The sixth chapter. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, don't look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord. I see you all forgot to wash your faces before you came. Back to pasting, some of you. So, talking about initiation rites. And there's a very clear way in which people are carried over that difficult boundary, and their roles are very clearly defined. But that becomes difficult in a society such as ours that has so many options open, so many possible avenues and ways of crossing those bridges, that suddenly things like dating become so complex. The rules seemingly nebulous. Rites and ritual are the way that we define our lives and how we interact together. Almost every society on earth feels the need to ritualize certain moments in life, sensing that these are difficult boundaries that need the assistance of the community in crossing over. One of the things I think perhaps Lutherans are a little bit poorer for is in our more theological definition of sacraments, we narrowed it down to baptism and communion. Baptism, the beginning, and communion, the sustenance. But we lost all those other things that the Catholic Church called sacraments. They have 7 spread out over a period of one's life to help in all those kinds of transitions, to help mark each of these as somehow in the presence of God, somehow sacred, somehow watched over not only by God but by the community itself. This is one of these rites. Ash Wednesday and the imposition of ashes. For here, coming into the beginning of Lent, we enter into a different kind of season, a season of penitence in the church, which of course conjures up images of flagellation and fasting and basically, like the reading said, all kinds of ways of making ourselves feel miserable. But here at the beginning, the ritual we go through to usher us in comes in the form of a simple reminder. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And in order to do that, the boundary gets pushed all the way back to the very beginning of the story. In the act of creation, when God scoops up a little bit of mud and forms the Adam, the mud creature, and breathes life into it. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But it also comes as a no less real, no less stark reminder that pushes us in a different direction. Because it comes to us also as a mark of mourning and a recognition of our need for mourning. We are broken. We are mortal beings. We fall short of the glory of God. And so, as people have done throughout the centuries in an act of mourning, we put ashes on our heads. But in that too, the boundary gets pushed out. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Remember, you are mortal and you will die. But in saying that, we make the sign of the cross. A picture is defined by the frame it is put in. A story is defined by its beginning and its end. And what we have on our foreheads tonight is one bookend in this vast story that makes up our redemption. For we are reminded that there in death we find Christ. We are reminded that by his death, Christ has broken down the gates of hell and taken up residency. Christ has established squatters' rights in hell so that we cannot be separated from him. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And when we do, we find Christ there. And the other bookend on that story, the story told by the one who calls himself the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, is the cross that we receive at our baptism, the cross of new and eternal life, which is the other cross that we bear beneath this ashen cross. The cross that is there for a moment at our baptism but never leaves us is there long after the water has evaporated away, visible to God, if not always to us. And one of our duties as a community that reaches out to help frame these lives is to keep ourselves mindful of those two bookends, life and death, beginning and end, and by Christ's death and resurrection, the whole story comes into one glorious narrative. And there's no place in this story that we are not in Christ's presence. So tonight we begin that story with ashes. On Easter morning, we will end it in rejoicing and a remembrance of that baptismal cross that bears us on to life now and always. Amen.